Have you read the New Zealand Initiative report into how you and the Reserve Bank made the inflation mess worse?
I haven't read the report, no. I saw the news story, and at some point, I guess, I might have an opportunity to read the whole report. It's not actually particularly new material from the initiative. The author of the report, Bryce Wilkinson, has got a pretty specific view around how he thinks monetary policy should work. I think what I'd point out, and he does in the quotes I saw in the article anyway, which is central banks around the world were doing this. It's not just the Reserve Bank or not just the government of New Zealand. Everybody was dealing with the uncertainties and unknowns of COVID, and decisions were made. In hindsight, people get to question those decisions. We don't get to govern in hindsight, though.
Do you regret requiring the Reserve Bank to support maximum sustainable employment?
Absolutely not. And I think it is really important to, you know, realise that most of the decisions that the Reserve Bank's taken over the last few years, they've been asked, you know, would this decision have been different if you had the single mandate? And they've said no. You know, we put that mandate in because in the long run, we want to make sure that monetary policy is doing its job of keeping prices as stable as possible, but also having an eye to the rest of the economy. We're not the only country in the world with a dual mandate. Other places even have more than just a dual mandate. What we're trying to do is make sure that the Reserve Bank plays its part across the economy. But in recent decisions, I've heard the Reserve Bank governor say having that mandate hasn't changed what they're doing.
Well, how does the mandate work, right? The maximum sustainable employment work? When they are deliberately engineering a recession that's going to create unemployment.
So their view, and I stress this is their view, I'm not commenting on it, is that we are effectively above maximum sustainable employment at the moment.
So what then is that, it begs the question, well, what is maximum sustainable employment?
And again, the Reserve Bank have written extensively on the fact that there is no one single measure. They use a set of different measures around employment, which include things like participation in the labour force, as well as the actual number of people in jobs and the actual number of people unemployed as well. And they, from that, you know, create what they regard as a kind of a composite measure. It is also important to note that unlike the other objective we give them, which has a specific percentage, 1-3%, that was not required of them for maximum sustainable employment, partly because their contribution to that is not as direct as it is to inflation because of the use of interest rate of the OCR lever. So, you know, they're given a little bit more wiggle room on that, but they've written extensively about what they can.
Because it feels like a vibe, eh? It feels sort of like something you can just kind of decide where it sits on the day, just, you know, to suit, you know.
Different conditions that apply to it, but, you know, clearly what they're saying is that at 3.4%, they believe unemployment, okay, they believe that we're over maximum sustainable employment. But, you know, they have written about this. They do have what constitutes their composite index available for people to see. But there's no difficulty, in my view, in them having those two objectives. Other central banks around the world do, and I think it reflects the role of monetary policy in the economy that's broader than just price stability.
And do you regret distracting them with nonsense like gender diversity?
What a great sentence, Heather. Gender diversity is nonsense.
It's okay? Nonsense. Fair, I mean, they're supposed to be running
that,
the economy. Who gives a toss whether they're boys or girls, as long as they do the job?
What we wanted, and they were part of all, as we do with all state sectors, is that we're trying to make sure we achieve a range of different goals, and all agencies have some role and responsibility there. I work with the people at the Reserve Bank on a regular basis, and I can tell you that in the time they've been there, they have improved diversity, and the quality of advice is just as good. So,
but I mean,
don't you've got anything to worry about there.
Aren't we in a nuts position where, as is pointed out in this report, nobody apart from the board's chair has any identified economic expertise, and they're running the economy?
Well, no, again, the people who do the work inside the Reserve Bank are trained people who understand all of what they are doing. We have a board that has a number of different skills because in a board you need people who understand human resources. You need people who understand technology and technology development. And so the board plays a different role in this than the people who are doing the day-to-day work there.
Do you think after what's happened with Credit Suisse, like, I know these are unrelated, the two issues in the US and in Switzerland, they're completely unrelated, but given that people might get a bit nervy, are you thinking about guaranteeing deposits?
Well, we were already thinking about that. As I'm sure you know, we have a bill that's partway through its process in Parliament that was the result of the Reserve Bank review that we did in 2018, mm-hmm. actually. And that does guarantee deposits up to $100,000. That's about 93% of New Zealand's depositors. A lot of countries in the world have these kinds of guarantee schemes. New Zealand never has. And I think probably what we're seeing shows that that's a useful thing for us to do. So the goal is to have that passed before the end of the year.